Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2012. Hello, I'm Sam Minter. Once again, I don't have Yvonne Bo with me. But this time I will not subject you to the car or me walking. I will say, though, that this week has been trying in terms of getting this show done. So, I believe it was Saturday night, Yvonne sent an email to say that he couldn't make it on Sunday at the usual time. So how about 12 hours later than we usually do it, which would be early Monday UTC. Okay, fine. We'll schedule that. We'll go. Time comes. Time goes. Yvonne sends a note, a text actually saying, sorry, he wasn't home yet. He wouldn't be able to make it. So we reschedule for 24 hours later for what would be Tuesday UTC. And early Tuesday UTC. And so I get there. I actually leave work early to be there in time. No show. Nothing. Nada. I text. Nothing. No response. Turns out he just forgot to set a reminder. So we missed it. So we reschedule again for 24 hours later for early Wednesday UTC. And right before the time, he sends an email saying, sorry, can't make it. I also came home earlier than I would have otherwise for that. Oh well, and rather than try to schedule again 24 hours later to do it, I'm just like, yo, hell, I'll do a show. So, and unlike last week, where I ended up like recording an hour and a half of essentially bullshit, although some of it was okay, maybe. But mostly bullshit. I promise you, this show will in fact be short. And, you know, I don't know how much meaningful stuff I have to do. I'm going to wing this again. We'll see what we talk about. But I'm going to start out with hot water, showers, and Wendy's burgers. How's that for a start? So, Saturday here, woke up, no hot water. There had been hot water Friday night, nothing Saturday. And we'd been told when we bought this house that the hot water heater was at the end of its expected lifespan, so it could go at any time. So this was not unexpected. But here's the thing. So we wanted to, of course, call somebody to come out and look. But our garage, you know, I'm a pack rat. There's decades worth of crap in there. And most of it, I admit, it is indeed crap. Probably 80% of it can and should be thrown away. And I've finally come to admit that to myself. However, the problem is that the 20% that's worth keeping is all mixed in with the 80%. So you can't just like grab a box and say, oh, crap, and throw it out. You have to actually look inside each one and save the one or two good things and throw out the rest. Now, of course, yeah, I could just throw out everything. I could also light a match to the house and burn the whole thing down. But there is stuff I want to keep. But anyway, the point is the garage stuffed completely full. And this is where our hot water heater is, of course. So at the time this happened, there was no actual physical way to even get to the hot water heater to check to see if it was still warm, for instance. So, ended up spending a good deal of both Saturday and Sunday hacking through the garage, grabbing boxes, going through boxes, throwing away crap, taking other stuff in and moving it to the rooms where it belonged. Oh, look, here's the kitchen stuff. Here's like, you know, some glasses and stuff that we could have used over the last 6 months. Here's all kinds of other stuff that hadn't been seen in a while, you know, and meanwhile, oh, here's a bag full of trash. and I mean literally trash, as in garbage, as in, you know, when we first moved, we didn't have our trash bins yet, so we threw some crap in the garage, never to be seen again until 6 months later. Yeah. Anyway, hours and hours and hours of moving stuff around, making way, until there was enough room that, like, you know, a reasonable plumber could come in, look at the stuff, do what they needed to do. They came Sunday night, Sunday evening, and evaluated the situation. Yes, we did need a new hot water heater. They could fix it, but it would cost almost as much as a new one. What's the point of that? Get a new one. We went back and forth a little bit. Do we want one of the newfangled tankless ones? Or do we want to get an old-fashioned one? Do we want to get a bigger than normal old-fashioned one? You know, we ended up replacing it with an old-fashioned one, the same size as the old one, but just that's new and actually works. Because before this had even failed, it also wasn't sort of keeping up with the hot water needs of the house. You know, the kind of thing where, you know, one person takes a shower, another person's screwed, that kind of stuff. Anyway, they couldn't install it Sunday night. They came Monday afternoon to install it. We have a exciting, fun hot water heater now. It's working better than the old one ever worked. Very exciting. And that was my weekend. I kind of really wanted the newfangled kind, but they're a lot more maintenance still. They're more expensive. They're pros and cons, whatever. And also, but the critical factor was not any of that. The critical factor was if we wanted a good tankless one, as opposed to like the cheapest one we could run down to Home Depot and get, we would have had to wait. And the hot water broke sometime between Friday night and Saturday. We spent all day Saturday, or most of the day Saturday, and most of the day Sunday doing, you know, physical labor, moving stuff around in the garage. There was no hot water for showers. You know, before work on Monday, I had to, like, do, like, a little washcloth sponge bath, best I could thing, because I just couldn't deal with a completely cold shower. I'm sorry, I'm a wimp. But anyway, so item number one on our agenda was, what can you get set up fastest so we have hot water again? And that was pretty much your good old-fashioned one. So there you go. We're done with that. Oh, and did I say Wendy's? Yeah. So this is something I've been meaning to follow up on for like years, it seems like. Yvonne and I, a couple times on this show, have had conversations that included, amongst other things, the fact that Wendy's used to have really awesome hamburgers, and then Dave Thomas died, and it all went to hell. And it didn't, like, it just never was what it was before, and it never tasted as good. The quality went downhill. All kinds of things went downhill. And I've just been meaning to say, sometime in the last year and a half, I forget exactly when it happened, Wendy's did this thing where they reformulated their burgers. They had like all kinds of studies and figured out what people liked, what people didn't like, and they changed around the burgers. They refreshed how they prepare a bunch of stuff. They refreshed a whole bunch of things. And bottom line, it's good again. I can once again recommend a Wendy's burger. And certainly over like McDonald's, Burger King, I've never been able to stand their crap at all. But I, you know, this afternoon, on the way home, on the way to the podcast, I stopped and got a Wendy's burger, you know, drive-through, and it's good. And I've been doing that for the last few months. I'd gotten to the point where I would only go to Wendy's if there was no other choice, because, you know, I knew that I'd get something mediocre and the quality control would be bad and they'd probably get my order wrong and blah, 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 blah. In the last 6 months to a year, that ain't happening anymore. They're getting it right. They're getting it right every time, and it's good. So I just wanted to give kudos to Wendy's for actually, like, cleaning up their act and fixing stuff and making it, like, I don't know if it's, I doubt it's the same as what it was, you know, that I remember from, you know, a long time ago. But it's good. And I like it. And unfortunately, there's no Wendy's really, well, probably fortunately, actually. There's no Wendy's that's in a very convenient location to the places I normally go. So it's either something that is an out of the way thing, which, you know, frankly, I'm not, it's okay, but I'm not probably going to go very far out of my way for a Wendy's. Or, you know, it's when I've happened to go somewhere that's not the normal places I go and, oh, there's a Wendy's. So, but anyway, good for Wendy's. Dave Thomas would probably like this burger. Anyway, let's take a break. I'll try to figure out a couple more substantial things to talk about. We'll have a little enjoy this break. We'll be right back. And I'm back. So, topics. Well, you know, look, there are a couple things that if Yvonne was here, we would surely talk about the Facebook IPO. We would surely talk about JP Morgan and their meltdown from a week and a half ago or so. We would probably talk about private equity. We would probably talk about the meltdown in Greece and what's going to happen in Europe and is Greece leaving the euro and all that kind of stuff. Yvonne is not here. So we're not going to talk about any of that stuff. Maybe someday when Yvonne is back, we can talk about those things. He's really better at those than I am, so I'll leave him be. There's a couple election things. You know I'm all about the election. But really not much. So I will say a couple things. One, I inserted as Future Sam a note last time that I did indeed submit the ballot to run for the precinct committee officer for the Rugs Lake precinct of Snohomish County as a Republican, because it's a partisan position. There's one Republican, one Democrat in each precinct, or at least there would be if everybody ran. And so I submitted that. And the way this would work is if I was the only one who submitted, I would just get the position. If more than one person submitted for that spot, then I would actually be on the ballot and people would vote and I would maybe lose or I would maybe win. Chances are lose if there was an actual competition, let's be honest. But the deadline for filing was last Friday and I was the only one. So I guess I win. So I guess that means I now hold elective office. I don't know about you, but that kind of scares me. Now, of course, this is an elective office with no real duties, and it's a partisan office, and it's really weird. I mentioned last time all my reservations against doing this. And the reason for... I changed my mind, obviously, in the end. Partially it was because of a back and forth with the local Ron Paul coordinator guy. Because, of course, the reason I was invited to do this was because I was a Ron Paul delegate, blah, blah, blah. And I sent him an email saying, look, I'm barely a Republican. I'm not a Republican. Let's be honest. I've always thought about myself as an independent. I've associated myself with Democrats, Republicans, or others sort of as convenient at the moment based on the specific candidates and the issues and the time and whatever. And on a presidential level, I've never voted for a Republican. I voted for Democrats. I voted for Libertarians and I voted for Ross Perot, but I have not voted for a Republican for president. I probably would have voted for George H.W. Bush if Perot wasn't in it, but it didn't happen that way. I'm like, look, yeah, I'm independent. I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to take direction very well from a party or a campaign. I'm not going to go out and try to convert people, because part of the duties of this were supposedly, to do get out the vote efforts and sort of try to get people involved locally in the party and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, yeah, I'm probably not going to do very much of that stuff. And he's like, look, really, all you have to do is go to like one or two meetings and vote on some organizational stuff. And I'm like, look, I can do that. And yes, you know, even though I'm not saying one way or another what I'll end up doing in the fall, I'm honestly, right now, it's between Obama and Gary Johnson. Romney's not even in it for me. You know, I could go to a couple meetings and vote organizationally, and I'm all for the organizational things that'll sort of blow open the party and sort of reduce the influence of what I consider the Republican crazies, the you know, hardcore social conservatives, the neocon interventionists, the, you know, all those sorts of folks. I think those are nuts. And if the Republican Party was actually, as opposed to just them using the words, if the Republican Party actually was a party that really did advocate small government solutions to things in a smart way, like less government intervention where it can actually have a good result and an equitable result and something that makes sense, as opposed to a dogmatic way, or as opposed to how it is now, where they say small government, small government, small government, but the entire record of whenever the Republican Party has been in charge has been larger government and more government intrusion into more portions of your life. I'm all for, like, something that would reorganize the Republican Party, because I think, like, having a couple sort of, I view the current Republican Party as fundamentally dysfunctional, and I think having a healthy Republican Party would be healthy for the country as a whole. Which isn't necessarily saying I would vote for them all the time. It really depends on the specifics again. But I would like to see, you know, two or more parties that actually are civil and can get things done and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not sure the Ron Paul guys really are that in the end. They're kind of dogmatic. But I like their direction. And specifically in the areas of, like, civil liberty, war, blah, 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 the limits on executive power, I'm 100% there. There are other areas where, well, okay, whatever. But, you know, that's true of any group. Anyway, so I said I'd do it. And nobody else signed up, so I'm it, I guess. Will this be the start of my long political career and climb to the presidency? No. I don't think so. But it should be interesting anyway. As things go on, I will, of course, report here on anything interesting that happens with that stuff. You know, and I was going to talk about the real presidential stuff, like not just this local weird stuff. But let's take another break. And when I come back, I guess I'll talk about Cory Booker and his comments about Bain Capital and private equity and blah, 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 and the little dust up that happened about that, because there's nothing else to talk about. Not that that stuff really matters or that anybody will remember it 2 weeks from now, but it's something. Okay, we'll be back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
And we're back again. And so now it's time to talk about the best places to get free internet porn. Oh, wait, no. Cory Booker. As my dog howls and barks at who knows what he's howling and barking at. But Cory Booker went on Meet the Press. Oh, he's the governor of Newark, New Jersey. Previously best known for taking reports of, like, you know, potholes and manhole covers that needed repairing and things like that over Twitter and taking care of them. And of, you know, when his neighbor's house caught on fire, going in and rescuing a couple people a couple months ago. He went on Meet the Press as an Obama surrogate this weekend and said that, basically, I'm not going to try to quote him directly, but the long and short of it is, just like the Romney folks' potential demagoguing of Jeremiah Wright was wrong, so was the Obama campaign's bringing up Bain Capital and private equity and all that stuff. Because, you know, that's a legitimate form of business and it's, you know, not good. Anyway, after he did that, the Obama campaign, indirectly, but, you know, definitely all their surrogates and all of the liberal commentators and media completely jumped all over this guy. You know, for getting off message and being a crappy surrogate and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Romney's putting out things that, you know, pointing at Booker's position saying, hey, look, even an Obama supporter recognizes that this stuff is, you know, bullshit. And McCain tweeted thanking him for his statements and blah, blah, blah. Oops, as I make noise. And so, of course, a few hours later, he started walking it back. Now, there are a couple things to say about this. One is like, hey, if the guy stood up and said what he believed initially, then it's absolutely sucky for everybody to jump on him and, you know, basically tell him to take it back. And then even suckier for him to say, oops, I didn't mean it. Because he knew what he was saying. He knew he was on national TV saying it. It wasn't just an offhand comment. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it's sort of, on the one hand, it was like, oh, good for him. Standing up and saying something, you know, against his own side, calling his own side out on something. That's pretty cool. And then, really, he's walking it back. Really? And they're pressuring him to do it. Really? And then, of course, you also realize that the reason for this is because he gets a crapload of money from private equity firms as campaign donors to him. He's in New Jersey, New York, Delaware. This is like home base for financial companies. And, you know, so he gets tons of money from, this is a completely self-interested statement too. And he maybe he's hedging his bets in case Obama loses. So it's all slimy all around when you really start to look at it. And oh, by the way, you know, it's not like Obama didn't get tons of money from, you know, private equity and financial companies himself too, you know. The whole political world is awash in this kind of money. You know, and of course the walk back was like, look, he's concentrating on jobs and his effect on jobs, and maybe that is a legitimate thing, and it's legitimate because, Romney is actually highlighting his business experience as one of the reasons he should be president. Fine. Anyway, as usual, this is another one of those tempests in a teapot that from now until the end of the summer are just going to pop up every week. Something pops up. People go, ah! And then nobody remembers a couple weeks later. I mean, really, remember like a few weeks ago, there was that Momgate stuff and the war on moms and, Romney's wife hasn't worked a day in her life and all that, and everybody, no one cares. And normal people, as it were, aren't even paying attention and won't be for months yet. Maybe a little, something going on, but like, if you're listening to this podcast, you pay a lot more attention than most people in the world to this kind of stuff. So, summer doldrums continue. And let's take another break. And we'll be back with one last something. See you after the break.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then, let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, I'm back, and thinking I better wrap this up pretty quickly because my daughter just got home, which means my wife and son are probably going to be home any minute now too, and they're going to want me to do stuff. So let's wrap this up. A couple quickie election things just to note real quick. Primaries, as I'm speaking, Arkansas and Kentucky were, I guess they've already been called, but the final results still coming through. I'm going to update my website with those results soon. But the headline of the night is not on the Republican side, Romney won handily, but on the Democratic side, because Obama's struggling with minor candidates getting a decent percentage. Like, I believe in Kentucky, Obama is only getting about 60%. Now, that's enough to win. And so right at that moment, my computer crashed and crashed hard. It was really weird because the screen just turned gray and then it didn't actually fully reboot, but it started reloading itself and all the applications started coming up. And because of the way Lion works, everything came back up pretty much the way it was. Although I was recording this live in GarageBand and it didn't quite come up right, but I knew what to do and I saved all the audio recordings, before they disappeared as they would have if I hadn't known what I was doing. So anyway, I didn't lose a damn thing. But you know, right at that moment also, as the computer was rebooting and getting all set again, which took like half an hour, it took forever. My son did come looking for me and he wanted to play. And I was like, look, I'm computer's rebooting. I'm in a crisis. It's like, I could have lost the podcast. I don't know what's up. And, you know, I can't play with you right now. And so of course he went away crying. And so I ran after him and I played with him for a while. And so it's been a little bit later and I have no idea what I was talking about. And the whole crashing thing, probably a hint I should stop. But I believe I was saying, yeah, no such luck. I'm not actually going to stop. I believe I was going to say that some people have been commenting on the fact that President Obama in the Democratic primaries in West Virginia last week and in Arkansas and what's the other one tonight? Louisiana? No, not Louisiana. As I have to check. Oh, I don't know. Anyway... Kentucky. Anyway, he's not getting, 99.99%, which is what you kind of expect an incumbent to do. Now, I actually just looked back at George Bush's 2004 results, and his worst state, he got just under 80%, like 79 and a fraction or something. And I believe that was in New Hampshire at the beginning of the process. So, you know, and in most of the others, all of the others, he did better than that. And in most of them, he was getting 99%, 100%. But it's not unusual for there to be states, and even in 2004, there were a bunch of 90%, 85%, 80%. That's not unusual. The thing is, once the winner is absolutely clear, as there it always is with an incumbent, and also as... once the, you know, like what's happening in the Republicans right now, we all know it's Mitt Romney, turnout drops considerably. It's very few people even bother to vote. Those that do usually have some sort of point to make. And in the states that are very much not the direction of the party in question, even more so. So we're talking about West Virginia. We're talking about Kentucky. We're talking about Arkansas. This time around, these are very, very Republican states. So you've got low turnout for the Democratic primarily because there's no contest, and you've got an even lower turnout because these are red states. This doesn't really mean very much. But, you know, people are making some hay over it. Yeah, fun stuff. I think there was other stuff I was going to mention. Let's see. We talked about Booker. We talked about primaries. We talked about the PCO thing. There was a NATO summit and some protests. We talked a lot about this kind of thing when Occupy was doing their thing. I'm not generally very sympathetic to protesters, but I'm even less sympathetic to the police taking heavy-handed tactics. Protesting is a crucial part of a democracy. They should leave these folks alone unless they're actually posing a threat, which they are not. Any other quick hits? The Lockerbie bomber died. Yeah. Polls on gay marriage so far show having absolutely zero effect, which is very interesting. You know, we were talking the other week about, will this hurt Obama? Will this help Obama? And the consensus seemed to be it was going to hurt. So far, not showing up in the polls that way. It's still early. We'll see how that plays out. But it could turn out to be a non-issue if basically all the people who care one way or the other were already on whatever side they were on. The question is there anybody whose mind was changed? Were there any Obama supporters who are like, oh my God, he supports gay marriage, so therefore I'm going to vote for Romney? Or any Romney supporters who are like, oh, Obama supports gay marriage? Maybe I should vote for him instead. Those are the folks that matter here. Or potentially the people in between who are like, I have no idea who to vote for. Should it be Romney? Should it be Obama? Well, Obama likes gay marriage, so let's vote Obama. Yeah, the question is, are there really that many people out there? And apparently so far, the answer is no. So far, this is an issue where, you know, if you felt strongly about this issue or you cared about this issue, you were already on one side or the other. And this isn't changing your mind. We'll see. And I think that's it. I'm wrapping this up. I could try to think of something else, but I think we're good. I think we're good. And see, I promised you a short show. This show right now is just over 30 minutes. If you average that with last week's 90-minute show, we're right about at an hour, which is where we should be. At least that's where we've been trying to be lately. So anyway, thanks for joining us. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, etc. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.